Hi, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. Welcome to Letting Go with Guy Finley. Guy is the best-selling author of Let Go and Live in the Now, and is the founding director of nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. And now, here's Guy Finley.
If there's one thing that should be more than evident to everyone on the planet, it's that the level of pain in it is increasing. We'll prove this in a number of different ways before we're done with our talk. But we always want to move away from what's planetary and get personal right away. So let me ask you a question, and I'll state it in simpler terms. How many of you suspect you're imbalanced? Human beings are imbalanced. It's an imbalanced planet, not because the planet's wobbling, but because the human mind and the heart are caught up in a kind of dance that are wobbling all over the dance floor, like one of those tops when you just start, when it starts to run out of energy. Have you seen this? How they teeter like that? That's the human being, forever teetering. Now, how do we know the human being is always teetering? Because if you just push it a little bit, down it goes. How many of you know down it goes? Just the simplest one comment, one look from somebody. The phone rings when you're eating your pizza, and the whole thing comes apart, doesn't it? We're going to look at this whole question tonight of what on earth has happened in the earth of ourselves. What's taken place that this imbalance is so prevalent and so clearly trying to be covered up in all of the different ways that it is in this world that we're in. So I'm going to start by doing something I rarely do, which is I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. I'm going to talk about a problem that I've had over the last, I would guess probably close to 4 months now. It's been fairly chronic. And I'm only going to spend a minute on it, but I need to tell it to you because it is so perfectly exemplifies everything that we are going to talk about when it comes to putting balance in our lives. But first, a very key idea, and I want you to think about it. We haven't a lot of time to examine it, but here's the idea. And you would think that being human beings who are wobbling, sort of in out of balance, that a person would want to know something about balance. Wouldn't you think that? Balance is the expression of opposites reconciled. Balance is the expression of opposites balanced. Now, you say, well, gee, what's so revolutionary about that? This idea holds in it something that we have to understand, and that is that something creates balance between the opposites. Something brings the opposites together and produces from them something that they cannot do by themselves. This is an extraordinarily powerful principle that we're going to look at deeply so that we can start to understand what I hope you'll spend some time mulling over. Because when you have opposites, simple opposites, for instance, just a pen, and you put it on a fulcrum of some kind and it balances there. Ta-da! Hold your applause, please. Those opposing sides of the pen did not create balance. They entered it. And that's an important idea that we're going to examine. So back to me. When I was about 17 years old, as a matter of fact, exactly 17 years old, I had a scholarship to play football. And I got tackled carrying a kickoff back, and it paralyzed my left leg from the knee down, 95% paralyzed. To this day, it's still paralyzed. Over the years from 17 to the age that I am now, which is nearly 40 years, no, 17 and 40 is 57. Thank you. I didn't say I was 40. That's your hallucination. I could care less about my age. Point being this, that along the way, then I also happened to get hit by a car when I was in my early 40s. And that really hurt. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I was in my 30s. But the point is this, that over the years, because of this paralyzed leg, I have learned to do a host of things using muscles to make up for the muscles that I can't call on. My left leg from the knee down, and therefore the way I walk and everything, has always had a gait to it, and a gait that has been produced so that most people never know, never even recognize that I have my leg is paralyzed, because I've learned to compensate. And when I say I've learned to compensate, what I'm saying is that in my body, muscles that are ordinarily not used for balancing the body to walk, to play football, run and chase things, play golf, whatever it is, that the muscles that usually compensate to make natural balance don't exist in my body, and so things had to be recruited. Other muscles had to be recruited in order for me to be effective in the sports or just living as I wanted to live. Now, you can understand that, can't you? Now, here it gets fascinating. 6 months ago, everything started to break down. Began to have chronic pain in my back and other parts of my body. And so wanting to understand what this was about, because it didn't make any natural sense to me, I came to find out that over the period of these 40 years that I've been recruiting other muscles, they've just finally given up. They have been called into being in a chronic state of tension in order to maintain the balance, that at a certain point, which was like 6 months ago, they just said, see ya, guy, sorry, can't do it anymore. Love to help you if we could, but we can't. And so a condition of balance that was maintained suddenly fell apart. And these muscles that had been recruited to make up for the muscles that weren't being ordered, because you see, there are natural muscles that could have been used, but in order to get around them, other parts of me were called into play. Now, the reason I'm saying this to you is because I want you to start understanding something that's very important about this imbalanced state of our own emotions and psychology, our thoughts and feelings. Why is a person so easily pushed down, falls down, angered, fearful, worried? These states, these chronic emotional states that stay in us. Why is it that we don't find a balance that allows us to be kind, regardless of the circumstances we're in? Why isn't there a patience that can take being pushed by anything? These are very important questions if we want to have a real life. If we want to understand our present circumstances. So here's where we're working to now. What do you call on? What do you recruit? Now work with me. Take a deep breath. What do we recruit in moments of crisis in our lives? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh God, just something. Oh no. And what do you call on in a moment like that? Say it. Thought. I call on thought. There isn't even a me that calls on thought. The crisis occurs and suddenly I'm knee deep in a pile of considerations about what to do in the situation. Yes or no? This is what human beings call on. Now you can say, no, I don't call on thought. I call on God or I call on the light or whatever it is. But I want to prove something to you quickly. That if you were calling on what was genuine as opposed to a sentimental image, that the problem would be resolved, which we're going to prove. So I want just to get this real nailed down right now, that when we have a problem in life, when we're heart heavy, when we're worried, when we're frightened, that we call on thought in order to produce lost balance. Yes or no? Now, what does thought call on to produce this balance? More thoughts. Thought calls on the past, doesn't it? Thought calls on its plans, its spiritual ideas in order to solve problems like this. Thought calls on all kinds of things, and then thought will call on a future that it creates out of reconfiguring the past. Thought will call up a future where I won't have this problem because I'm going to get rid of her. I'm going to change him. I'm going to move. I'm going to get a different job. So thought is always calling upon thought in order to create a balance. Now the key here is that thought is not intended to be a balancing force in us.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at GuyFinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polansky of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.
You don't use, this is an old idea, you don't use gasoline to put out a fire, do you? Well, what got knocked over? What is it that allowed the moment, that simple glance that that person gave you, or a word that someone said, why would something as simple and as innocuous as a comment cause you to topple over? And the answer is because you live in thought. Images, ideas about yourself. So all someone has to do is psychologically accost that which you're standing on and saying is real and me and this is what's true. And as soon as something challenges it, the whole thing, like Humpty Dumpty, comes falling down, doesn't it? How many of you had your life fall apart? And when your life falls apart, what do you put it back together with? Can you say it? Thought, or thought's ally, negative states. Thought loves the glue of negativity, because when we can get negative over what happened to us, it proves to us that we really don't want to be in that state of ourselves. And that somehow if we could just stay, you know, just get angry enough or worried or frightened enough, that this is going to put us back together again. But there's a very key idea here, and it's this. First of all, thought can't balance anything because thought always adds weight to one side or the other. Doesn't it? When you're thinking about something, you're always adding thoughts here or you're taking thought away there, which means you're always working in one of these opposites. And no thought can balance what thought has created in its imbalanced state. Oh, what we're touching on is so vital to understand, because if we can recognize that the very attempt, have you ever done this? Have you ever spun yourself into the ground with thinking? I mean, you start to try to think about how to get the lost balance, you know, she's leaving or they're doing this or what's going to happen. And you start thinking and then more thought and then more thought and more thought. And then what happens? Tell the truth. You have a breakdown. One way or the other, you have a breakdown. You either fall into a deep depression. You either get angry at someone or something, find something to justify the negative states coursing through. And in the midst of all that, what is thought doing while it's breaking you, while negative states are tearing into you? What is thought doing? It's saying, this is necessary. This is natural, man. This has to happen because, you see, we're going to work all of this out. And then you say, okay, let's work it out. And it works you over again. Now, more of this is necessary to talk about. We can prove that thought is not intended to balance our lives by something very simple. And I'm pulled this right out of the Associated Press, and I want you to listen to this. Did you know that over 3.5 billion human beings have a monthly prescription for drugs? And over 125,000 Americans died last year from drug reactions, which makes, by the way, those reactions the fourth leading national cause of death after heart disease, cancer, and stroke. The pharmaceutical industry served up more than $250 billion worth of sales last year, which is exactly this, almost the same amount of money as all the gas stations pumping all the gas in the United States. $250 billion worth of prescriptions. And the last comment is that well over 65% of individuals over the age of 70 must take psychotropic drugs in order to remain balanced. Now, here's what's happened. Just like my muscles that had atrophied, that weren't being used, started to call on things that were necessary in the physical body, but that finally broke down, thought continues to call on thought. And then when thought can't reconcile it, it finds something else outside of itself. Someone to blame. It'll find a drug. It'll find an alcohol. It'll find an enemy. It'll find something outside of itself to do what? To balance itself. To make it feel as though it's still in control of life. Now, the reason this is so important is because the same exact principle. Here's overworked muscles reach a point where they can't relax. Yes or no? How many of you reached a point where you can't relax? Do you see what I'm saying? See, relaxation isn't collapsing. How many of you collapse at night? You watch TV, read, do something so that the mind won't bother you till you finally pass out. See, we have reached a chronic state as human beings where using thought in order to balance the imbalance that thought itself engenders has produced a psychopathic culture. That's the only explanation for the entertainment. the things that one sees, the drugs, all of the ways in which people take their lives and spend them. And I mean no offense to anyone here, but I want to ask you, how in the world did someone invent a contest to see how far a dog can jump off a dock into water and have 10,000 people there watching it? I hope none of you do that. The point is that we're desperate for something to distract us from the perpetual imbalance that the mind is going through, searching for ways to balance itself with thought. It can't do it. Now, what is then that which balances? What is that which allows this nature, this divided nature, this nature that works in opposites, what is it that would permit it the peace it seeks? What is it that creates balance in a human being? And this is beautiful. I go back to what I said at the top of the talk, that which creates balance is itself greater than the balancing it does. It is larger, more broader, if you will, encompassing, and already exists before the opposites do. It is not thought that we must turn to for balance, but we must turn to awareness of thought to create balance. Awareness of thought is the only thing that can balance thought. Why? Because awareness, the light in it, recognizes imbalance. The awareness, the light of awareness, recognizes imbalance. We've all felt those moments. Try so hard to see this. How many of you had that moment where you knew you were about to, you could feel it? You know, a thought pulling you over here, a feeling pulling. You knew it, you could feel it. And in that moment, instead of doing what is necessary and natural for the human being who wants a balanced mind and a balanced heart, who wants love to be their guide, we got seduced by that thought that started telling us what we had to do. Telling us how to answer that disturbance, who to call on the phone, what to straighten out. Over and over again, in those moments, there is the first flash where a person senses the imbalance. They sense the onset of the negative state. They sense the rush of those thoughts and feelings that when we are present to, we can see if we were, why are those thoughts and feelings pushing me the way they are? Have you ever been pushed by a thought? Can a thought that pushes you produce balance? Please see it for yourself. Can a negative state that's trying to pull you down ever produce balance? It can't. But something can produce balance. That which is aware of imbalance inside of us, the moment in which we, and here are the three words, we recognize the onset of those thoughts and feelings. Here's the event, we're aware, recognize that. Then after the recognition comes the reconciliation. What does that mean? It means that in that moment, I turn it over to the awareness. I turn over that disturbance. I turn over that imbalance, that feeling of disturbance. And this is so hard for us to understand because our psychological grasp is so limited. When we feel a disturbance, the first thing that our nature tries to do is correct it. We must not be the ones who correct the disturbance in our own soul. Because the disturbance is the effect of these thoughts and feelings, of forces beyond themselves, by the way, all in a certain kind of chaos, all in a certain kind of clash. And our awareness of that moment is the moment in which it's possible for us to recognize that that's going on and then do the work. What's the work? Come wide awake. Realize that at that moment that the imbalance that we're feeling, that teetering, tottering, tormenting thought and feeling that's trying to pull us left and right, that we can't resolve that. We've been trying all of our lives to resolve what thought produces in us. We turn that thought, that feeling over to to our awareness of it. And that's it. We stay conscious instead of getting caught up in the conspiracy that thought produces when first it deceives and then drags us into its plot to resolve that problem. This takes dedicated work on a person's part, because in that moment, you see, what's happened, and back to the whole point of the talk, is that our ability to give our attention to the present moment has atrophied. Atrophied. Just like my muscles atrophied because they weren't used, so has our attention and our ability to give our awareness to our own thoughts and feelings atrophied. But once we understand, and we do, we can see into this dynamic. We can recognize something's taken place that's been stealing from me a balance that I'm intended to have. Listen to this, because I must bring this talk to a stop, at least the first part. We're not meant to live imbalanced. We're meant to live in perfect poise. Not poise in terms of being the perfectly peaceful person, but the poise that comes with recognizing that at every given moment, we already live within something in ourselves that has the capacity to bring balance to every moment.
You're listening to Letting Go with Guy Finley. For more information about Guy's life-empowering ideas, visit GuyFinley.com. We'll be back in a moment.
One reason the wind of good fortune is often found at the back of people who are successful in life is because these individuals are usually found moving ahead of it in anticipation of its arrival. Hi, this is Dr. Ellen Dickstein. The engaging words of best-selling author Guy Finley remind us that real success in life is a relationship between ourselves and a timeless greatness that lives within us. Each week, you can receive a powerful, life-affirming message from Guy, guaranteed to help you succeed with your wish for a new life. Each brief, uplifting insight reminds you that nothing can stop you from knowing the higher happiness your heart longs for. To receive Guy Finley's free weekly key lessons, just visit GuyFinley.com. Join the thousands of grateful individuals who are learning how to make themselves and our world a better place. Visit GuyFinley.com. That's GuyFinley.com.
Welcome back to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley.
We're talking about balance. We're talking about a crucial element, not just in the way life expresses it, because without that beautiful balance, we wouldn't have trees standing there like they do. We wouldn't see anything the way that it is if it weren't for balance. The only thing that's not balanced on the planet is exactly. Human beings have lost all sense of balance. So I want to cover one particular idea before we go any deeper. And it's a very important one and a very deep one. So wherever you are, wherever you're listening, take a nice deep breath, because we're going to talk about balance. And if you can't see this, I have a pen on my finger. And when that point of balance is reached between the opposite ends, and this is between any opposites, this is an important idea, please understand that a third force is not created by these opposites reconciled, but that third force is revealed by these opposites reconciled. That third force is revealed by these opposites reconciled. Oh, man. Why is that so neat? Because that means it was there before. Look at that. You want to prove to yourself the existence of an eternal principle? If you could just balance the pen. There it is. That which was before the pen's opposite ends is now revealed by them. Now, with that in mind, because it's a very important idea, it means, and I want to state it one more time, that that third force is not created by the opposites, but is, and we're going to use this word, an uncreated force. An uncreated force. It was there before the opposites allowed it to be revealed. It is an uncreated force that is only seen when suddenly the opposites are apparent and it's brought into evidence by those opposites. This is deep. I know it is. I'm going to get less deep now. There's a story actually in one of my books, and Let Go and Live in the Now, about a little girl who goes to see her grandfather. He lives in the great open country of Montana. And there she goes for the first time from living in California, where rarely, you know, it never rains in California. And there's a huge storm while she's there. Massive storm, thunder, lightning, and she, first time she ever sees or hears anything like that, she dives under the cover. Grandpa shows up a minute later, takes her downstairs, and gives her a great lesson. They sit there, and he says to her, "You know what, sweetheart, I've been alive a long time. I want you to understand something," he said. "I want you to understand that I've never seen a storm that didn't pass," he said to her. "I've never seen a storm that didn't pass." And he was giving her a certain emotional comfort in telling her that even this physical storm that she's looking at, that storm, not only will that pass, but that all the storms in life will eventually pass. He's never seen one that didn't. And he tells her about when he lost his own dear beloved wife, how that was the worst storm of his life, but yet even that storm passed. Now, I want to ask you a question to get right into the heart of the talk. How many of you have storms that haven't passed? Storms that were formed when you were 4, 8, 12, 15, 20 years old. Pains and resentments and fears that still sit down there in conflict in the center of your being. How many of you have that? And everybody, you better raise your hands. Wherever you are listening or watching, you better raise your hands. Because human beings live in a very peculiar state of being. They live with pain, heartache, grief, fears that go on and on and on and on. Not only go on and on and on, but actually tend to get worse. Now, just so you know this, in case no one's told you, that's not right. That's not how it's supposed to be. You and I are not meant to live with any lingering negative state whatsoever, regardless its cause. No matter who or what happened to you in your life, that pain that is in there, and I know it is, it doesn't belong in there. It was meant to be healed, and it wasn't. Now the question is, why not? That's the big question. If we can see, when we look out at nature, have you ever seen a storm that didn't pass? Everything, no matter what you look at in nature, that storm passes. Why? Why do storms pass in the world and storms don't pass in human beings? That's an important question, don't you think? Because for one thing, if we look at a storm, we can see that a storm in itself, its very existence, belongs to a rather powerful set of conflicting forces. Yes or no? Big storm. In case you don't know it, high pressure comes, you know, there's high pressure, and all of a sudden here comes low pressure, and here comes high pressure, and then the gradient between temperatures and moisture, and all of a sudden, boom, storm. Colliding systems produce storms. Yes or no? Colliding systems produce storms. They are a natural part of nature, but every storm in nature passes, doesn't it? Why? And not only passes, I want to add this because I'm going to run out of time. I can see the writing on the wall. after the storm has passed, wherever it's passed, nature is better for the storm having been there. How many of you are better for the storm that you're still in? Look at some trying to show you the beautiful, beautiful celestial that's hidden in the common out there. Here are storms, storm, climbing, and then all of a sudden, sunlight, bluebirds, everything healthier, more whole than it was before, except for human beings. Except for human beings. Why do storms go on in human beings? Why do the hurts inside of us remain as they are? This is the key question we're examining. Because we want to understand this balance. Nature handles it, doesn't she? But in nature, that which balances these opposing forces that cause that storm, in nature, those opposing forces are balanced by a series of other forces. We can talk about them. Just the passage of time. The conditions that allowed the clash, they themselves pass because the earth spins and the sun sets and the temperature of the ground cools. All of these different things are causing a constant reconciliation amongst these forces that cause storms. Now, the key here is to start recognizing, and this is very important, that you and I, we have the earth in us. We have the conflicting forces. How many of you know you have opposing pressure systems? Opposing desires, if you want to use those words. Thoughts that contradict one another. A constant state of conflicting parts of ourselves that produce storms. Something happens to us. Have you ever run into something that happened to you and boom, and then here's the storm? That man, that cruel man who said what he said, that person who betrayed you the way they betrayed you, that dream you had about what you were going to do and become that got dashed, for whatever reason it got dashed, here is this storm that never goes away. It just sits down there in this little semi-seed form waiting for an event to come along, and the minute the event comes, it creates the conditions that allow that force to rise up, and all of a sudden the storm that took place 25 years ago is there in the moment. Why? Why do human beings live like that? Always looking around to see if something's going to happen that's going to cause that storm to explode inside of them. And then believing that they can reconcile those storms when they do by thinking back over what happened or justifying to themselves the explosion that took place. Anytime we justify a storm, we don't resolve it. We actually strengthen it in ourselves. So, we have in us these conflicting forces. It's part of our nature. But here's where things are different. Unlike Mother Nature, who's able to reconcile these opposing forces that produce storms, there's something in us that not only doesn't reconcile them, but actually causes them to continue. Because we have something in us that nature doesn't have. And here's what we have in us that nature doesn't have, that is the seed of the storms and that which keeps us in a state of being off balance. We have the power of imagination.
Here, Guy Finley in person. Guy lives and teaches in Merlin, Oregon, where he speaks four times each week at beautiful nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation. Visit us anytime and hear Guy's life-transforming principles in a friendly, serene, and inspiring environment. Visit GuyFinley.org or call 541-476-1200 to learn more about friendly ongoing classes. You are not alone in your quest for a new life. At Life of Learning, you'll meet others who are also seeking higher understanding, and you'll experience the power and inspiration of hearing Guy Finley in person. Plan to visit us and take the next step in your spiritual development. For information, call 541-476-1200. 541-476-1200, or visit guyfinley.org. That's GUYFINLEY.org.
You see, when you were 12, 15, 20, 30, 60, whatever it was, and that moment took place, that painful event took place, the mind, in order to grasp and deal with that which has created a storm in it, must have some way to think about the event or the person. And it takes that event, it takes that person, and it forms it into an image. It uses imagination and gives that moment a body. Gives that event a certain content that it uses to reflect upon what just took place. And that imagination that produces that thought is the exact same thing over and over again that in the moment of any storm, it goes back and calls on. So that when something happens to us, when something happens to you, a storm takes place in your life, a problem takes place, and that's all stirred up, what's the first thing that happens inside of you? We go into thought, don't we? Our mind reaches deep into itself and pulls out what has been stored there that it can use to give itself something to balance itself by in the storm. Which is a lot like, by the way, grabbing an anchor when you jump off a boat thinking it's a life vest. We can do so much better than that if we understand how the mind will fix an event. How many of you know what it means to have the mind fix an event? Something took place and man, that mind fixes that event in your mind. Yes or no? It fixes it, gets a clear picture of it. Then, when something happens, it'll actually call up what made it mad, what made you mad. You ever been talking to somebody and they did something that bothered you, and suddenly you have more dirt on that human being than Hoover has on all the floors in the world? Do you know what I'm saying? Well, where does all that dirt come from? And what's the dirt doing? What is that negative state doing? Not resolving, balancing the cause of the storm, fermenting it, producing more of it through its justification. And this is what human beings are used to doing in the moment of a storm. Is allowing that moment of disturbance to produce all of that imagery, that those things that we have inside of us that tell us, well, I knew that would happen, or she's always been like that, or this can't turn out any different than this. You name what the mind grabs onto, and you'll see that it grabs onto it in order to balance the moment. It gives you something to cling to. And I'm saying that we must see clearly that that doesn't work if we want to achieve true spiritual balance. So here's where we get to some pretty deep and important ideas. We talked about how these opposing forces in nature are reconciled by nature herself, by the way the world works. But that which keeps this pain alive in us, that storm seed sitting down there waiting to surface when the events allow it to, that seed down there, when it surfaces, when it suddenly gets up there and the suffering starts over what it's doing, we have all this time taken part in its play. Every time that pain appears and is justified first by the existence of what is recollected by that image that's called up in the mind, and then the subsequent set of associated thoughts and feelings that flood in to support that and seemingly give us a plan, a way to feel like everything's going to work out or at least justify ourselves, that clearly doesn't work and never produces balance. So the question is, what does? And we hinted at it when we talked about how when the opposites are balanced, how they don't create that third balancing force, but reveal it. This is what we have to do in our life when the storms come, when the pains that have never healed appear. We have to understand that the only way that these sorrows, these griefs, these worries, these fears, these pressing pains, the only way they're ever going to be truly healed, balanced, is when we take them, when we take... Now, what does it mean, them? Get this. Me and my pain. Me and what I'm angry about. See, the me that is angry believes it's different than the anger it's expressing. The me that's worried believes that it's somehow different than what it's worried over. The me that's afraid of what might happen tomorrow believes that it's different than the fear that it has. But as an example of opposites, you can't have a fear about tomorrow without having embraced something imagined negatively. No negative imagination, no identification with that picture, no pain, no fear. So the self that appears in that moment and whatever it says is causing that pain, they are one thing. But they don't know they're one thing. This is the classic description of what it means to have a divided mind and a self that is always identified with its own content. Once we recognize that the moment this appears, we can do the beautiful work of turning all of that nature over to that which is greater than itself. Now, what is greater than that set of opposites? We talked about it. That which is always there prior to their appearance. We can call it whatever you want. We can call it the wisdom of intelligence. We can call it perfect balance. We can call it God. We can call it the Christ. We can call it truth, living light. The key isn't what we call it. The key rests in whether or not we will call upon that in those moments. So that we can see, as we've been discussing, that here is obviously a collision of something. Opposites have collided. My plan, the way the world turned. Your facial expression, my demand for respect. Here are material things, thoughts actually colliding with one another, and in the collision producing that storm. And when the storm is there, then the storm seeks ways to balance itself by doing what? Calling on the very stuff that produced it in the first place. Now, those opposites are created, aren't they? Do you understand that they're created? They exist as part of our particular life, because everybody here is filled with different kinds of experiences. The thing that causes a storm in this woman or that man is not the same thing that causes a storm in this person or that person. Which means that the material of ourselves, which is what? Our past experiences, isn't it? Isn't that the material of self? It is. That's created, and it's been created by a mind. It's been created by a nature that always forms an image in order to understand the event. The created cannot resolve and balance the created. Thought can never reconcile thought. Only what is uncreated can reconcile what is created. Only what is uncreated can reconcile what is created. And in this instance, when we say uncreated, we're talking about this light, this living balance that goes before. Have you ever heard that expression? I go before thee to make the crooked places straight. That refers to a nature that pre-exists the problem. It refers to a certain part of the human nature that is capable of being in relationship with that which has already reconciled these opposites, and our only task in the moment of the storm, in that moment where we're wobbling around, is to realize that our real responsibility here is to give ourselves, to give this moment, literally give the conflict to the only thing that can reconcile it. And here's why human beings can't really stand the idea of that, because what's my part in it? See, we're always saving ourselves. If you could just see it, that's what thought does. Thought produces the conditions under which imbalance becomes absolutely apparent. The moment that it becomes apparent, thought rushes in and says, "Here I come to save the day," and hands you an anchor, hands you the next thought, the next thing by which you will no longer be feeling the jeopardy that you did when you started to go down. And we can be wiser than that. We can recognize, see for ourselves the fact of everything that I've said. Don't you ever, no matter what happens, as long as I'm in a body talking about these things, don't you ever believe a word I say. If the truth isn't evident in the moment of an individual's life, then the truth isn't worth a hill of beans. The truths I'm telling you are evident every split second of a person's life. They're exemplified in everything that takes place around us, and they're always being revealed inside of us. But the pain of the storm must be surrendered. The pain of the storm must be surrendered. It must be taken from the self that always claims it and then promises to be the healer, so that no longer do we catch ourselves starting to feel pain, worry, fear, all that storm going on, and suddenly build ourselves a boat or build ourselves a vessel by which we're going to escape the storm. Don't you ever try to escape a storm. Give it up. Become the one who is awake and aware of the ache, instead of the self that is identified with the thoughts and feelings that promise to end them, but only perpetuate them. Learn to see the difference between the two, and you will discover a life in which you will participate in a beautiful and eternal balance called love, called light, called goodness. It is always present. Our sole task is to present ourselves to it in the right way so that it can do for us what we have yet to be able to do for ourselves.
Hello, I'm Desi Arnaz Jr. You've been listening to Letting Go with best-selling author Guy Finley. To learn more about Guy Finley and his nonprofit Life of Learning Foundation, visit guyfinley.com, where you'll find a host of free, life-changing information. Thanks for joining us today.
Love, the brightest and most powerful force in the universe. Love melts stress and cancels resentment. It gives birth to kindness and is the fuel of success. Love is at the heart of every great relationship and is the true essence of lasting peace. In his new book, Apprentice of the Heart, best-selling author Guy Finley explores lessons in life only love can teach. This breakthrough book contains the tools you need to strengthen and deepen all of your relationships with family, friends, coworkers, and with the present moment itself. Apprentice of the Heart, available now at guyfinley.com and fine bookstores everywhere. Joseph Polanski of Diamond Fire magazine writes, "The reader is lifted up to a whole new realm, a rarefied region of the soul." To order your copy of Guy Finley's Apprentice of the Heart, visit guyfinley.com. That's guyfinley.com. The relationship your heart longs for already exists.